listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
How do you survive when you're in the middle of your work and all of your effort to save your marriage, and you find yourself making a mistake? How do you survive that mistake? And how do you survive it when you've been moving forward and suddenly you backslide? Something happens and it pulls you back. Now, I'm not talking about when your spouse moves away. I'm talking about when you find yourself backsliding. That's what I want to talk about today, because it's one of the frequent questions I hear from people. They'll tell me that they've heard about my top five things not to do, and they violated all five already. Or they tell me that they're in the middle of working on things, and they find that they've now made a mistake that they know about. They think back, and they're so upset with themselves for having made this mistake. And so a lot of times it comes even before they get to my system. You know, sometimes when you're working on the relationship, you don't have a system, you don't have a program, you don't have a plan, and you make mistakes. Or you discover that you've gotten the wrong plan. Maybe you've been playing no contact for a while and you realize that's not working. Or maybe you've been trying that reverse psychology for a while and you realize that it's a reverse psychology, that suddenly you're twice as far away. And so what do you do when you have those situations, when you're working on the marriage, doing everything you can, but you find yourself reacting in ways that you don't want to react? For example, what if you find yourself suddenly begging and pleading, or maybe you already begged and pleaded to get things different and you realize that that's not working? Maybe you convinced or tried to coerce your spouse into working on things, and maybe that's where it all gets kind of twisted around, that you've been working so hard at forcing your spouse in that you realize that that doesn't work. You can't force someone to participate in the marriage. Or maybe you found that your anger has been stirred and that you what's coming out of you is anger and upset rather than what you want, which is love and support and care. And you're finding that that's creating more conflict for you. And if you remember last week, I talked about how you make it through that tough little period, that first period. And this is part of what happens in that golden hour, that you may find that you're wasting your energy during that golden hour when you could be working on things to build it up, and you find that you're begging, you're pleading, you're convincing, you've got anger coming out, or maybe you even have resorted to distancing yourself. Just this past week, I've had at least four people contact me and say, I was so upset with what happened that I stomped out of the house, that I moved out of the house, that I moved out of the bedroom, that I started a separation. And my response is, were you hoping to rebuild the connection with those actions? But that's what happens sometimes when you find yourself in that tough place. Or maybe you find yourself just chasing after. You know, you're texting all the time, leaving messages, and bombarding your spouse with these emotional pleas, trying to guilt them, to force them, to convince them. All of those pieces that happen when you're texting. Maybe you tell them how this is going to be awful for the kids, or how it's going to be devastating for your family, or you know what's going to happen to the finances. And maybe that's what's pouring out of you, all those fears that don't do anything to help you move forward. Maybe the worst that's happening right now, the way you're making the mistake, is you're just not working to connect. You know you should, but you just don't know what to do with that. And maybe that's where you're finding yourself stuck. Maybe you find yourself really not sure how to reconnect, not sure how to move forward with that. And so today I want to talk about how you deal with and survive those mistakes and those backslides. This is really the basis for my top five things not to do. It's part of my Save the Marriage system, because I think it's so important that you have to know not just what to do, but what to avoid. The problem is, most of the time, people come to my material after the crisis has already been in play, after they've already, you know, had some bad responses. And so people say, okay, you know, I don't even know if I should get your system because I've already violated these top five things not to do. Maybe it's just too late. What do I do? Sometimes I hear that right after somebody buys my material and they jump in and they get through the quick start guide and then they go to the next piece of what not to do. And as they're reading the what not to do, they realize they've done all five. And so then they say, is it too late? You know, have I bought it too late? And my response is, you know, it's not that it's too late. It's just that you have to change now. So as I set the stage for this, recognize for the past couple of weeks, we've been talking a bit about this already. For instance, if there's a separation, you have to survive the separation, and the best course is to try to avoid that separation. You also want to make sure you're not caught up in conflict, because if you're surviving conflict, it makes it a little bit harder to survive those mistakes. That's built into a conflict. If you're not moving forward in a conflict, then that's already a mistake. Then that golden hour. I talked about that last week, and several people talked about how that resonated with them, that there is that golden hour, that I take that term from trauma medicine, that says the best chance of survival is good medical treatment in the early part of a crisis. May not be an hour in an actual crisis, and it certainly is not an hour for a marriage crisis, but it's that golden period where your efforts have the most chance of success. That kind of brings us to today. What do you do when you've made those mistakes? How do you survive those mistakes? So let's talk about what you do next. I've already talked a little bit about what those mistakes may be, and you probably already know them. If you violated any of my top five things not to do, if you found yourself in a manipulative position, in a coercive position, in a pleading position, in an angry position, you've made those mistakes. So what do you do? Well, the first thing is, you recognize the mistake. And what I mean by that is we humans have this great capacity of kind of fooling ourselves, of dismissing our own mistakes. You know, we like to think, well, you know, yes, I didn't respond well, but it's my spouse's fault. You know, my spouse pushed my buttons. My spouse didn't respond well. My spouse is the one that caused that. And in the process, we distance ourselves from the mistakes. And so I want you to recognize that no matter what a spouse is doing, that mistake is yours to own, to recognize and to hold it. Because until you do that, we can't step forward through it. We can't recover from anything we don't claim. Now, what I want you to notice is if you're watching the news much, you're watching a lot of politicians who are refusing to recognize their mistakes. I'm not pointing at anyone, I'm talking about across the board. You'll notice it is also true a lot of times about with famous people. You know, they'll do something that everybody else from the outside is looking in and going, man, you goofed up. You made a mistake there. And they can't see it. They can't recognize their mistake. And so the first step in getting beyond it, of surviving the mistake, is just in recognizing the mistake. Now, as I'm sitting here talking, you may have thought as you started listening that you had made one mistake and you realized that there might have been more mistakes. That's part of the process of recognizing the mistakes. And as you recognize them, then you can own them. Until we recognize our mistakes, we're stuck. So the first step is always to recognize your mistake. You got to know what it is that you're going to change. Which leads us, though, to number two. Once you've recognized it, at some point, you've got to pretty quickly stop chastising yourself. You've got to stop kicking yourself in the rear for the mistake you made. So many times people call me and they tell me about what they've done and they're just kicking themselves over and over. And I'm hearing them kicking themselves and I'm knowing that as they're kicking themselves, there's no progress that's being made. You know, just imagine that scene. You're kicking yourself in the rear, right? You have to kick up from that. But when you're doing that, you really can't be walking forward. You're just kind of stuck kicking yourself. And a lot of times when we are chastising ourselves, one of the things that we're not doing is taking any forward action. And sometimes the chastising is almost a way of making sure we don't have to move forward. Because if we've already made the mistake, we just let ourselves off the hook of continuing our plan. And that's the danger of the chastising. The other danger is that you put so much on yourself for that you can never recover. So I believe that the task is always to learn from our mistakes. Mistakes are opportunities for growth. So the first thing is, as we recognize a mistake, we stop chastising ourselves because we decide that it's an opportunity to look at what happened. What caused you to respond in a negative way, in a way that pulled you off your plan? It's important to know those things. It's important to learn from those things, to see what got triggered. This week in several of my coaching sessions, one of the things I was doing was working to help people understand where they got caught up, how they, as I've talked about in other podcasts, how they bit the bait. right? They got hooked, how they bit the bait that was being tossed to them. Now, I'm not saying that your spouse is necessarily consciously trying to get a reaction out of you or a response out of you, but they are fishing something there. And you've got to decide if you're going to bite the hook, if you're going to get sucked into that. If you allow yourself to bite the hook, you are already in trouble. And so you've got to watch how that happens. You've got to watch for the lures in the water all around you and make sure that you're not biting the hook. And so part of the process of not chastising yourself is stepping back and saying, but how did that happen? How did I get to this place? Which leads us to one of the things we want to avoid. Number three, don't double down. You know, don't try to tell your spouse that, you know, I was angry the other day. I know I reacted angrily, but you made me. And you deserve more than that. In fact, I probably should have been much more angry, and I should have been angrier over the years. Or maybe you say, gosh, you know what? I realized the other day I was kind of begging and pleading. But you know what? It's your fault you're doing that to me. You're the one who's causing all this problem in the family. In other words, we often see this in the news of people doubling down on their mistake. Instead of being able to step back and say, hey, you know what? I misspoke. Or hey, you know what? I misacted. And I need to take responsibility for that. I need to apologize. Instead, they say it's the other person's fault. The other person's wrong. It's not me. It's the other person. And they double down on it. I'm always reminded of my time when I was at a convention in Vegas. And I was walking through watching these people who were obviously losing their money at different tables, who kept on pulling the money out and doubling down, trying to win back their losses. It's possible that they would have won back their losses, but it's not probable. Whenever we double down, we're already digging into a loss and doubling that loss. And so I'd watch people who were just continuing to pour money onto the table, thinking their luck was going to turn if they just kept doubling down. Double or nothing, right? Just go for it. And I just watched that the house kept winning over and over. And that's the nature of these things. The house is stacked against you. When you are acting from a bad space in a relationship and you double down on it, you only double the mistake. You don't recover from the mistake. You don't shame the other person into a shift. You don't cajole or plead or beg somebody into a different state, at least not for long. So don't double down. Number four, be responsible. Now, this is a big term for me. I've said it so many times. I use this term very often in my Thriveology work. Responsibility is misunderstood in our country because somewhere along the way, we have in our head somebody who's looking at some accident and saying, who's responsible for this? And what they're really saying is, who's to blame for this? That's not what responsibility is about in my book. Responsibility are those two words, responsibility, the ability to respond. The ability to choose our response rather than our reaction to something. And so being responsible is all about accountable, apologizing, and acting different. To be held accountable, to say, you know what, I hold myself accountable for that action. It didn't matter what you were doing. That didn't allow me to act out in begging and pleading ways and convincing ways and anger ways and distancing ways, chasing ways, non-connecting ways. I've got to be accountable for the fact that I took action. No matter what you were doing, I chose that action. And be able to say, you know what? I take accountability for that. To be able to go back and say, hey, you know what? The other day when we were having that conversation, I didn't respond the way I wanted to. I've got to be accountable for that. I've got to take that in and say, you know what? I'm sorry for that. Which brings us to the apologizing part. Key part of my program, kind of setting a ground floor, is an apology letter. In fact, I suggest this in my Down and Dirty Guide that you'd need to do an apology letter. And I also, in some of my coaching program, have kind of higher end understanding of that apology letter where people can understand what that looks like from training and write that through a formula. And we provide that through our coaching program so that people can understand that when we have a chance to work with them through that process. I talk about it in my Down and Dirty Guide and tell you that you need to do that and some pieces you need to put in there. And that's a foundational piece. Some people think that's a magic letter. It's not a magic letter as much as it creates a place where you are claiming accountability and responsibility for where you've been in the relationship, and you are apologizing to the other person. You're not saying I'll make it up to you. You're not saying let's wish that away. You need to forget about it. But you're saying I apologize for this. I'm sorry for the way I acted. And that apologizing is part of reversing the current. Because then you're saying I see where I misstepped. And then after that apology letter, if you're going through the process, you're trying to work on your relationship, and you find yourself at a place where you're acting in ways that you don't want to act, it's where you immediately step back. Instead of doubling down, you step back and you say, hey, you know what? I apologize. That is not the person I want to be and is not the person you need me to be. It's not the person I want in our relationship. I apologize. And then, and this is a very important part, the third part of being responsible is acting differently. You're accountable by saying, I'm gonna take that on. You're apologizing to make sure the other person understands it. And then you're acting differently. If there is no change in your actions, then the apology is hollow and you really aren't accountable. Whenever you decide that something is in the wrong spot, you have to have a change in behavior. Any change that doesn't include an acting different means that there really hasn't been a true change, which leads us to number five. You get back on your plan. Now, you do have a plan, right? You've got to have a plan, and you've got to have a plan to return to. And that's one of the biggest things that helps when you recognize you've made a mistake. You make recognize you're off the path. You're off your plan. And then you just come back to your plan and you start working it. So people say, so what do I do? You know, I made a mistake. What do I do? And my response, get back on your plan. Let's say you've decided to eat differently. Maybe you've decided to do some things that I've done in my life of trying to get rid of the processed sugar in your life and to stay away from simple carbs and get away from that kind of food. And then you go somewhere, right? Maybe you go to France and there's all, you're surrounded by that, or you go to Italy and you're surrounded by pasta, or it's the holidays and suddenly everything's dessert. And you realize that, you know, you, for that weekend, you're way off your eating plan. You haven't been eating the way you wanted to, the way you intended to. What do you do? Well, you could say, well, it's all off. You know, I give up. I'm just going to go back to what I was doing. Or you could say, it's time to get back on my plan. It's time to get back to what I intended on doing. And it's the same with a marriage. If you've got a plan to save your marriage and you make a mistake, then the way you work through it is to return to your plan. Now, you've already made yourself accountable. You've apologized. You're acting different. You're back on your plan. Getting back on your plan is the biggest step in making sure that you survive any mistakes and backslides. And then the last one is that you refocus. You get that out of your mind and you recommit. Refocusing means that you're not constantly looking over your shoulder at the mistakes. When we have a mistake in our life, our task is to learn from it and then move beyond it and refocus on what's important and recommit to the process. This is the way you get through the mistake. This is how you survive the mistake. You get back on your plan and you recommit to that plan and you refocus away from the mistake and back to what's important, saving and restoring your marriage as best you can while you're changing yourself to be the best person you can and creating that new path so that your relationship can be the best it could be. If you need help with that, if you need the pieces that fill in the blank of that, if you don't have it yet, please, please grab my Save the Marriage system. My Save the Marriage system is designed to help you create your plan and move you forward. And if you want to, while you're signing up for that, I'll give you an option of a free week of our the virtual coaching program. And when you do the virtual coaching program, you'll see that we have resources on that apology letter and on creating your plan and on staying on your plan every single day. If that would be helpful for you, please go and visit SaveTheMarriage.com. And grab my system. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.